Morning. You know, I have greeted every one of you more than once because my wife and I, we stand in the back and greet folks. And so I know that I've talked to each and every one of you several times. But yet, myself and I'm sure others that stand up here, we're nervous. We're nervous to talk to people that we know. The people we don't know, we have some visitors with us. Thank you for being here. But, and we tend to sometimes forget what we're going to talk about when we're up here, or certain points throughout the lesson. I'm sure that's going to happen. And my monitor isn't working up here, so I'm going to have to try to look to the side and behind me to make sure that I've got the right screens up here. So again, welcome. It's good to see everyone. We also tend to talk about those that stand up here, and also those of you who talk to everybody on a daily basis about anything in life. You tend to know what you're talking about, usually. Talk about subjects that interest you and subjects that interest others. We're going to look at one of those that interests me. This is an internal combustion engine. Most of you are going to yawn here in a minute, but that's okay. All of us use this. All of us know exactly what one is. We drive a car, we use a lawnmower, but we know what an internal combustion engine is. Why is it called an internal combustion engine? Well, because it has controlled explosions inside of it. If you have a tachometer on your car and you're running it really fast and you're running 7,000 RPMs, well, your engine is revolving at 7,000 revolutions per minute. And if you've got an 8-cylinder car, it's 7,000 times 8 explosions a minute. Now, these fellas here took this small engine. They took the steel head off of it and put a see-through one on there so you could see exactly how an engine works. It lets in the gas. It's a 4-stroke engine. The piston comes up, comes down, it lets in gas and air. It comes up, compresses that. Spark plug fires off. Piston goes back down. Comes back up. The exhaust valve opens up, lets out the exhaust. Piston goes back down, gas and air come in, it goes back up, and so on and so on. This is how an internal combustion engine is. Yes, as you're driving down the road, there's millions of explosions going on under your hood as you're driving down the road. So you're going to say, well, so? I can tell you about this, and I can sit and talk about this day after day, week after week, month after month. I know Mark is the same way. He can do the same thing, talk to you about cars time and time and time again. But now you know how an internal combustion engine works. What does that matter? Well, now we're not changing. There we are. There is nothing wrong with talking about an internal combustion engine or whatever other subject interests you, whether it be knitting, whether it be baking, building a house, talking about your grandchildren, it doesn't matter. The internal combustion engine that I just showed you can be anything in our lives that interests you. You can place anything that you've got in there. Darren likes doing woodworking. Anything wrong with that? No. He'll sit and talk to you about it all day. Zach Couchman back here loves history. He'll talk to you about that all day. Anything wrong with that? No. Glenn and David back here can tell you all about airplanes. They can tell you all about airplanes. Anything wrong with that? No. No. Dana and Nancy can tell you all about their children and grandchildren. Just ask them. Just ask them. They will tell you about that. Carol will talk to you about accounting all day in words you won't even understand, and she'll love it. Just ask her sometime. We all have things that interest us. We all have things that we talk about. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what life is all about. Talking about different things, talking about our lives, talking about our families. Do we use this as a good starting point, though, for talking to others about Christ? It's so easy to do. I said you're nervous when you're up here, but it's so easy to do when you stand here. It's so easy to do when you're in the audience here. But once you walk out that door, is all you talk about is the internal combustion engine or whatever interests you in life? Is that all you talk about? It shouldn't be the end of the conversation, the things that interest us. It should also be a starting point, yes, every day, for opening up a conversation with everyone we come in contact with, which in your lifetime would be millions of people. Millions of people. This, as some of you may know, is a beating heart. If you look at this, you can see the valves on the bottom left here, opening and closing. See, right in the center, there's one opening and closing. This is what is important to talk about. The one who created this, one of the most vital things on this earth, is our beating heart. It keeps us alive. I saw this when Carol was in the hospital and they did the echocardiogram, I think it's called, on her heart to see how it was working. This isn't hers, but this was just one. But this beats and beats and beats about 40 to 70 times a minute. It's a muscle that works and never stops. If it does, what happens? You're going to meet your maker. Take your arm and do this every second. See how long you can do it, flexing your muscle. This muscle never stops. Never stops. Until you are no more. Every day. When you're sleeping, it pumps, it beats a little slower. When you're running, it's a little faster, but it never stops. There's one that created this, and that is God. Are we talking about the God who created this? Or do we talk about the internal combustion engine or whatever else interests you more? What you talk about more? Again, it's so easy to talk about God when you're standing up here or when you're in this room, in this building. It's so easy to talk about that. But this is what we need to be talking about as we go about our lives. Do we do that? I need help in that area. And as most of us that stand up here say, we need the lessons that we talk about maybe the most. If you would turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Starting in verse 9, this is part of the Beatitudes. We also read this in Matthew, starting in about chapter 5, you know, several chapters there. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. I want to look at this in a little different way. We need to be doing that amongst ourselves to God every day. This is not a verse just for those who don't know God. It's a verse for us individually. And it's a verse for all of those in the world. A couple of verses. Are we asking every day? Are we seeking every day? Are we knocking every day in our lives? I know that I'm not. Is it required every day? You betcha. It's required every day of us. And if we're not doing this, we need to change our lives. We need to change. Ask, seek, and knock. These are not just, these are action words. And they have just much more meaning than the casual meaning that we give to them when we read them. As a lot of things that we do in the scriptures, we just read them and go on, and that's nice. You know, we read it. That's nice. Just as the verse that was read in the beginning, Matthew 7, starting verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We read that. But do we believe it's about us? How are we leading our lives to make sure that we get there? It's not just a casual thing, but this is something that needs to be eagerly sought for, needs to be done so with passion in our lives. Ask. I really wish I had this monitor working up here. Again, it's not just a simple word, but it is to show passion. Beg, call for, crave, desire. You need to ask God of things and show those in the world that they need to ask God of things with meaning in their heart, with meaning in their lives. The one who is doing the asking in all of the scriptures that I've read, the one that's doing the asking is familiar with the one that's being asked of. Are we familiar with God enough to ask Him for things? Are we showing those in our lives that we need to be asking for things and be familiar with God in order to ask those things? 1 Kings 3, we all know this story. It's about Solomon and him asking for wisdom. Starting in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful." Solomon was having a conversation here with somebody he knew. "To you in righteousness and upright in heart, you have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Of course, we all know this is a great thing that Solomon asked for, and he was given it. He was having a conversation with God, somebody whom he knew, and he asked for something and was giving it. We can do the same thing. Being right with God, knowing God, having a conversation with him, we can have whatever we ask for. The word ask here also has the same meaning as it does in Luke as well as it is here in Kings. Seek. To worship, desire, endeavor, or inquire. Again, not just a casual word, but something that has deep meaning. Something that has deep, deep meaning. We need to look at it that way. Turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Starting in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do the very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows what you need, that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Again, there are so many things that we worry about in life. But Christ here, after talking about the things that we feel that we have to have, and we do need clothing, food, but seek the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek God first. Seek God first. Are we explaining that to the people that we meet every day, to our neighbors, to our families, to those that we work with? Or are we only talking about the internal combustion engine or whatever it is in your life that you like to talk about? Knock. All of these words, as well as knock, requires an action, a rap on the door, a knock. It's something that we must do, something that we must do. We have to physically do this. How do we knock? Let's look at Revelation. You know, we knock as an action because we want to. We think sometimes that we're knocking every day. We think we are. Revelation 3, starting in verse 14. The church at Laodicea. Did they think that they were knocking? To the angel of the church of Laodicea to write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of them or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear. They're to knock. Again, these are people who felt that they, I'm sure that they were right with God. They needed to knock again. So you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. We've looked at first us knocking, seeking us first. Well, here we have folks who probably felt that they were right with God. Jesus telling them, I want to come into you. I need to come into you. The creator of the world, the one who died on the cross for our sins, wants them to come back to him. He is seeking them, even though they are wrong in his sight, much as we are wrong in his sight on a daily basis. So thank God for forgiveness and for his mercy for us. The scriptures that we've looked at are just one small part of the Beatitudes. We could study for years, both here in this building and at home, and still have more to study about the Beatitudes. This is one little section about how we're supposed to try to enter God's kingdom, how we're supposed to tell others to enter God's kingdom. It's action that's required on our part and on others' parts also. But we see Christ even coming to those who are in sin and asking them to come to him. Asking them to come to him. Can we even comprehend that? The creator of all asking those in sin to come to him. Again, Matthew 7, 21. Are you, am I, are those around us that think that we're right? Are we the ones that are talked about here? Starting in verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are we like Laodicea individually? Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? So many in the world today in the religious organizations feel that what they're doing is the right thing. All the strange things that they do. I just saw one the other day that I need to do some more research on. There's a new church that started in town. It's the Pot Church. Did anybody see that? The building is all painted up beautiful. Looks like the 70s, flower power. The whole building, ceiling, everything. The Pot Church is starting. Unbelievable. But if you would do some research on that, because pot's here to stay, unfortunately. It's here to stay. And we need to know about this church. Because you may know some young ones and some older ones. I know people who are in their 70s that are smoking pot. They have been since the 60s. So you need to know about that. You need to know about that church in town that's starting. I think it has the potential to be something big. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," is that us? Is that me? Tell everybody that you know, when you're talking to them about the internal combustion engine, that conversation needs to roll over to God, about God. It needs to. Say, "Well, I don't want to get fired from work. I don't want to distance my friends from me." You better talk to them. I better talk to them. Carol's brother, he's a member of the Baptist Church in Kentucky. And she corresponds with him a lot. We'll get envelopes. And he's on fire for God. He talks to people that he knows. He'll talk to anybody about it. And he does. When he sends correspondence to us about tax information, he sends a 9x12 envelope. He's always got a picture drawn on it. Last one we got, almost the whole envelope, the whole front, was a man behind bars. And it said, "Sin" on it. Sin had left this man behind bars. He sent this, he even wants people who see this in the mail to know this, to know about God, what sin does to people. He's on fire. I need to learn from him. I need to learn from him. There's some things we're studying with him, Carol's studying with him about some other things we need to work on. But yet, is that how on fire we are? Even the correspondence that we send talks about God. We need to be. We need to be. Many would say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will say to them plainly, "I never knew you." The words that we never want to hear from God. "Away from me, you evildoer." Can you imagine hearing that? I can't. I can't comprehend that. Think about the things that we've looked at today. In order to do the things that we've talked about today, you have to know God. You have to be right with God. And we offer everyone, you know, the invitation to be able to do that. If you're like the ones in Laodicea, you need to be knocking again. And you need to turn back to God. You know, we'll be glad to help you with that. We'll be glad to pray with you for that. In order for God to hear your prayers, you need to be in Him. You need to be. And if you don't know God and have not been baptized into Him, you know, we have water here. We have water here. We'll be glad to help you with that also. Please, I implore you, I implore myself, talk to those that are in your lives, not only about the internal combustion engine or whatever it is in your life that you like to talk about. Make sure that you talk about God with every single, draw that picture on that mailer to show everybody what sin is. Draw that picture. You have to do that. I have to do that. God requires that of us. It is the right thing to do. If you're subject, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.